Bless you, Brother Ronnie. Appreciate the good songs today and thankful for what I heard, but I'm more thankful for what I felt. Thankful that the... Okay.
I asked y'all to pray for me. I'm not on an ego trip. I'm nothing on my own. I make mistakes and often slip. Just common flesh and bone. But I'll prove someday just what I say. I'm of a special kind. For when he was on the cross, I was on his mind. He knew me. Yes, he loved me. He whose glory makes the heavens shine. So unworthy of such mercy, yet when he was on the cross, I was on his mind. A look of love was on his face, the thorns on his head. The blood was on his scarlet robe and stained it crimson red. Though his eyes were on the crowd that day, he looked ahead in time. For when he was on the cross, I was on his mind. He knew me. Yes, he loved me. He whose glory makes the heavens shine. So unworthy of such mercy, yet when he was on the cross, I was on his mind. Yes, when he was on the cross, you were on his mind.
Good to be here, isn't it? Good to be in the house of God. I thought about asked the church earlier to think about praying for the revival meetings that are in progress. Maybe we all just pray about having one. The Lord sure is with us today, and I'm thankful for that. I it seems like every time that I'm in a service like this, where the Spirit of the Lord is working and people have liberty in their souls and rejoicing and testifying and singing and I stand up, I always have this thought that I hope I don't mess it up. So you just pray that the Lord will just continue to take charge of the service and that He'll have His way. But I do have some things on my heart that God has burdened me with that I'd like to bring before you this morning. But I'll say this, if you're here today and you need the Lord, just come on. You don't have to wait for anything. People seeking the Lord, that's always in order. But I do want to share some scripture with you. If you'd like to read with me, I'd ask you to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And I want to begin reading with the first verse and share a few verses with you. And I want to share some thoughts with you today that Paul spoke and wrote about during his ministry concerning the gospel message. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, beginning with verse 1, says, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received." I want you to really pay attention to those words there in the third verse. For I, this is the Apostle Paul writing to the Corinthian church, and he said, "For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received." Well, what was that? Well, he goes on and he says, "How that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that He was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. After that He was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. After that He was seen of James, then of all the apostles. And last of all He was seen of me also, as of one born out of due time. For I am the least of the apostles, that am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God I am what I am, and His grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. Therefore, whether it were I or they, so we preach, and so ye believed." And I'll stop my reading there with verse 11. If we are anything at all in the service of God, we are certainly that by God's grace, aren't we? Amen. Paul said, "It's by nothing more than God's grace that I am what I am." I want to speak to you today. I want to use a title for this message: Some Things Never Change. Some things never change. You and I today, we live in an ever-changing world. Our society, there is something that is constantly changing. Those of you that are older than myself, you have seen more changes in your life than what I've seen. But there have been changes in things such as our everyday lifestyle, our everyday way of living. There are things that have changed, really have changed a lot since the time that I was a child. And I've told you this before, and I heard someone once say that the only thing about life that never changes is that life changes. And it does. We go through changes while we live here. And we have made great changes through technology, and there are people that possess things today. We have things sitting in our houses that people, probably 100 years would have never dreamed of, but things constantly are changing. the world since the time that Paul wrote this epistle to the church at Corinth, and since the days that Jesus was here on the earth, things have drastically changed. I mean, people live a totally different lifestyle. Most people do anyway. We certainly do here in the country that we live in. We live a totally different lifestyle than what the Lord Jesus lived while he was here, and the lifestyle that the apostles lived when they were here. And so things change, and if God allows time to continue, those things that you and I are seeing now that we believe to be such a drastic change from what perhaps our parents or our grandparents had, if time goes on, there'll be a day when those that descend from us will look back at the things that we possess now, and they'll say, we've really changed, haven't we? Because this will just continue to happen. Things will just continue to change. But thank God, there are some things that have never changed. And there are some things that never do change. Jesus Christ certainly doesn't change, does he? Amen. Jesus Christ, the Bible says, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. He never changes. And he left a message in this world when the Lord Jesus Christ was here before he ascended back to heaven to take up his abode there at the right hand of God the Father. He left a message with his church to be delivered to all the world, and the truth of that message and the gospel has never changed. It's the same today as it was when the Lord was here. It's the same today as it was when the Apostle Paul wrote this epistle to the church at Corinth. Paul said here in his writing, and he was reflecting back to the time during his mission work when he came to Corinth and when he preached the gospel to the people there at Corinth. And sometime later, he wrote to them an epistle, and he began to remind them, and I want to share this and some other scriptures in this very epistle with you. But Paul wrote this epistle to the Corinthians after having been there and having preached the gospel to them, and the church was organized there, and he wrote this epistle to them, and he reflected upon the time that he had been there among them and the things that he had preached to them and the way that he had preached to them. And so he's telling them here, as we read in this 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians, he's saying, back when I did that, when I was here in Corinth and I was preaching to you, I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received. Well, what that was, what Paul was talking about, was he was talking about the gospel. I have delivered unto you the gospel because that's what I first received myself. He was talking about when Paul was among them. I'll tell you what he preached. He preached a Savior that had been crucified, that had been buried, and that had risen again. Paul preached a very simple message to the people at Corinth. He preached Jesus to them. Jesus and him crucified and him buried and him risen from the dead. And you know, that's the message that the world still needs today. The world needs the gospel today. We don't need to, those of us, brethren, those of us who preach, we need to preach Jesus. Because Paul, in his writing to the Romans, in Romans chapter 1, verse 16, he said, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to who? To everyone that believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Listen, there are people, and there have been people for years now, in the name of religion, they think that everything needs to be changed. We need to change this and we need to change that. And I want to tell you what, Brother Todd was teaching a lesson downstairs this morning. And some of those changes that people have felt like in different religious sects and different denominations of religion, some of those changes that people felt like were necessary to be made took them in a direction that they never needed to go. I mean, it took them in a wrong path, and it led them astray, and it led them to the point where they were not really preaching the truth of the gospel to people anymore. They were preaching the type of gospel that the Apostle Paul wrote to the Galatians about. You know, Paul had gone there into the regions of Galatia also, and he had preached the gospel to those people. And after that, there were some that came in. We know them as the Judaizers. And they came in there and they did something to the gospel that Paul called a perversion of the gospel. He wrote to the Galatians and he said, I marvel that you are so soon removed from the faith that you first received. I marvel that you are so soon removed to what Paul called another gospel. And he said, which is not another gospel, but there be some that would pervert the gospel. And what they did was they came and they began to tell those people that repentance and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ were not really enough to be saved. You had to also observe the Jewish law of circumcision, the law of Moses concerning circumcision. You had to observe that also. And Paul wrote to them and he said, listen, don't listen to this. Don't listen to what they're saying. That is a perversion of the gospel. And he took it to the point where he said, if we or even an angel from heaven preach unto you any other gospel than what you have already received, let him be accursed. Folks, I'm going to tell you today, the message that Jesus left, the message that he gave to his church, and that's exactly what he wanted her to do when he commissioned the church and told her to go into all the world, what did he tell her to preach? The gospel. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And the message that he left us with has no need of change. It is the power of God unto salvation. When Paul wrote to the Romans, he said that he was not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes. Well, that was about 2,000 years ago, close to that anywhere, right around there, when the Apostle Paul wrote that. But you know, those things that he wrote, those words that he spoke there, they're just as true today. The gospel today is still the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. I want you to think with me this morning, you that are here today that have been saved by the grace of God, was it not the truth of the gospel that got to you? Was it not the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ being preached in its purity and in its simplicity that pricked your heart and made you realize that you stood in need of a Savior? It sure was to me. That's what got next to me. I heard a man one time, and he was, I don't know what kind of assembly that it was, but I heard a man one time, and he was talking about the church where he attended. And this is what he said. He said, we've got a pastor that's such a good spokesman. I mean, he's such a smooth orator. And he said, in our service the other day, he said he got up and he was quoting things from Shakespeare and he had all the people in tears. And I thought, well, you know what? He may have been smooth enough in his speech. He may have been eloquent enough in his speech. He may have been able to quote Shakespeare to those people in a way that he stirred up their human emotions. But I'll tell you what, folks, quoting Shakespeare won't get into people's hearts and it won't cut their hearts and it won't cause them to see that they are a sinner in the sight of God. The only thing that will do that is the preaching of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. People today, in this fast-paced, crazy world that we seem to live in today, I'll tell you what people still need to hear. And we know that people today in this world, they're hearing all kinds of garbage. They're hearing all kinds of things today that they would be better off if they never heard those things. But I'll tell you what they still need to hear today. They still need to hear about a Jesus that came into this world and was the only begotten Son of God and was not guilty of sin in any way. And he went after spending some time here on the earth. He went to that old rugged cross of Calvary, and there he gave his life for their sins. And after that he had given his life, they took him down there and they laid him in a borrowed tomb. But on the third day he rose from the dead. He rose victorious, and he had the keys to death, hell, and the grave when he rose. And he is alive today, seated at the right hand of God, making intercession for everyone that will come to God. And that is the message that people still need today. And it's not changed. How many times do you suppose since the day that the Apostle Paul wrote this to the Corinthians, since he sat down there with probably a quill and some parchment, maybe bark or animal skin or something like that, and a quill, and he wrote to these people, and he said, I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died according to the Scriptures, and how that he was buried, and how that he rose again according to the Scriptures. Or what about if we go back to the time when Paul actually went to Corinth, when he was actually there before those people, and he was preaching those things to them. He was preaching the gospel to those people there. How many times do you suppose since that day that the gospel has been preached? Well, we couldn't even count them, could we? For hundreds of years. In fact, I'll tell you what, we can go farther back than that. The gospel, the Bible teaches us very plainly that the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ was being preached before Jesus even came into the world in the flesh. The gospel was already being proclaimed. I'm persuaded to believe if you go back to the third chapter of Genesis and the 15th verse, I'm persuaded to believe that you'll find something there where God preached the gospel. When he said that the seed of the woman and the seed of the serpent, that he would put enmity between them, I believe he was speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ, prophesying to them of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible tells us very plainly in Galatians chapter 3, verse 6, that God preached the gospel to Abraham when he said, in thee shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because he was talking about Christ. What is the gospel? What is it? Well, we know the facts of the gospel are the death and the burial and the resurrection of Christ, but I'll tell you what, Jesus Christ is the gospel. He is the gospel. He is the good news. That's what gospel means. It means good news. As cold water to a thirsty soul, so is good news from a far country. And listen, lost friend, the good news unto you today is that though you are lost and in your sins, though you are separated from God, I have good news for you today, because a Savior came into the world, one that was sufficient for the task, one that was worthy of it, the only one that was worthy of it. A Savior came into the world, and he died on the cross in your stead. He died there the death that you and I should have been dying. He took our sins upon him, and he died there and made an atonement for our sins. He died there making a way for us to be able to come back to God and to be saved. And listen, if it were not for Jesus Christ, we wouldn't have any hope. There is no other way. There is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Folks, I'll tell you what I preach today. I preach Jesus. When I stand before a congregation of people, I preach Jesus. And I have no desire today to just stand up here and quote poetry to you or something else. I'd rather preach Jesus because He is the way and He is the truth. And He is the life. How many times in your life, since the time you got saved, since the time perhaps that you first heard the gospel message, Brother Strode, that pricked your heart and caused you to realize that you were lost and without God? How many times have you heard it preached since then? I bet that as I stand before you today and preach the gospel, I bet it's not the only time you heard it since you got saved, is it? But don't you still love it? I still love to hear it. I love to hear the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Folks, I'll tell you what I believe. I don't believe there's a better message that you can find anywhere that's better than the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't think you can. I'm persuaded, in fact, I know that there's nothing that you can find that would benefit anybody more than hearing about the fact that the Lord Jesus died for their sins, was buried, and rose again according to the Scriptures. Not a better message. Listen, there was a man by the name of Adoniram Judson. I don't know if you've read about him. I think some of you probably have. But he was among the first Americans to ever go on foreign mission soil. He went to Burma. And there he was converted to the Baptist beliefs by the influence of William Carey, an English Baptist preacher. And Judson remained most of his life there in Burma. He really never intended to come back to this country, but finally, after years of doing mission work there, he did. He finally made a trip back to America, and he didn't realize that while he was gone that he had become quite famous among the churches there in the New England states. His name was well known, and he didn't realize that, and when he came back and found out, when he came back and realized that he was quite famous, it bothered him. He didn't like it, but he went to a church there to preach. He had been invited to preach while he was back here, and there was a large congregation of people that came to hear him, and he went and he preached to them about Jesus. He preached the simple gospel message to that large congregation of people there, I believe, perhaps in Boston. So anyway, after that he had preached and the service was over, there was a man from the church that was taking him home in a carriage, and Brother Judson sensed that something was bothering this man. And so he said, "What's wrong?" And the man said, "Well, brother, the people frankly were disappointed. They were disappointed because they thought that after all these years out there on the mission field and all the things you've experienced, they thought you would have some kind of grand message or something to share with them." And Brother Judson said, "I gave them the best there is." And he said, "Of all the years that I was out there doing this mission work in this foreign country," he said, "I'm glad that I never learned anything that I thought was better than the message of the cross." And friends, there's not. And that's what Paul preached. That's exactly what he preached. He was a very wise, intelligent, intellectual man, but he preached a simple message. He preached the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you can read in the second chapter of 1 Corinthians where Paul also writing to them and reminding them of what he did while he was among them. He said, "Brethren, when I came to you, I came not with excellency of speech, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Paul was writing to them and he was saying, I was determined when I was among you that that's what I would preach. I would preach Jesus to you and Him crucified. And he said, my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and with power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Let me tell you something. There have been men throughout the years of time that have been illiterate. There have been men throughout the years of time that had very little formal education, but they stood before congregations of people and they declared Christ to them. They preach the gospel of Christ because, listen, we don't win people by education. We don't win people by intellect. That's not what the power's in, is it? Paul didn't write, he didn't write to the Romans, and he didn't say, I'm not ashamed of my great intellect because it's the power of God unto salvation. Said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. I've heard of preachers years ago. Brother Wheat spoke about the lady this morning. I've heard and read about preachers years ago that went around the countryside and they didn't even have shoes to wear. They were poor, but they preached the gospel to people. And God honored that message and God brought conviction in their souls. And they came before a holy and a just God as the sinner they were, and they found salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. And folks, let me assure you again today that if you're going to find salvation, if you're going to miss splitting hell wide open when this world is over and spend an eternity in heaven, you're going to find it in the Lord Jesus Christ, or you won't find it. It's nowhere else to be found. I'm determined here. I'm glad today that we still have churches in the world that are determined. I believe we've got some determination here, don't you folks? There must be, because it hasn't changed since 1924 when the church began. We are determined not to know any other way. We're determined not to tell people any other way. Wouldn't it be okay? I don't know how many times you've heard this message in your life. I don't know how many times I've heard it in my life. I don't know how many times it's been preached since the day that Paul wrote this to the church at Corinth. But wouldn't it be okay if I stood here again next week and preached Jesus to you? I'll tell you what, folks, I never get tired of hearing the simple message of the gospel. The world today, they're so confused. So confused. They think they need this and they need that, and they're looking to the politicians. I'll tell you what, folks. There's never been a politician born that had salvation. They're looking for things, for their needs to be met in every direction. If they would just look to the Lord Jesus Christ and repent of their sins and trust Him with all their heart, they'd be made good for eternity. And then the things that happen in this life would just be secondary. Whatever befalls me here, I don't know what'll happen to me. I don't know what kind of physical shape I'll be in before this life is over. I don't know what kind of financial condition I may be in before this life is over. I may end up like Lazarus for all I know. I may end up, from a worldly standpoint anyway, I'm never going to be poor because the Lord made me rich. But from a worldly standpoint, I may end up as poor can be. But no matter what happens to me, no matter what befalls me in this life, before too many more days, I'm going to lay down and I'm going to breathe my last breath. And I'm going to go home and I'm going to be with the Lord Jesus, the one that saved my soul. Yes, Treva, he's my best friend too. The best thing that ever happened to me in this life was when I found the Lord precious to my soul. And so I declare unto you the gospel. Church, I hope you never want a pastor that'll preach anything else. But if you do, you're going to have to get somebody else. I'm determined not to know anything but Jesus Christ and him crucified. There's no other way. There is no other way for people to be saved. Let's have a song. There may be somebody here today that needs the Lord.